Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Happy Friday, Nashville. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody is having a great start to 2026. We were off yesterday, but lots of football. Three college football semifinals, or quarterfinals yesterday, and the same semifinals are set. We will get into that. We'll talk some Titans as they prepare for the regular season finale in Duval on Sunday. And Justine Passat from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball going to join us at 10 o'clock. Connor, how's it going?
Good. It feels like it's been a while, but it also hasn't been a while, if that makes sense.
I guess it's just been 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a show last Friday.
I was here last Friday on the
right.
Air, but as far as you and me, it feels like it's been a while.
Yeah. So. We haven't done as many shows with the holidays on Fridays, so
it's fine by me.
It's good. We, you know.
On some level.
We might be more consistent here moving forward as we enter 2026.
Thank you for getting a easier Vanderbilt women's basketball player name for me to say. Although I think I did all right with the last one.
You did.
This one will be better.
You had to get some practice in, but you did a good job. Yeah, Justine Passat going to join us at 10 a.m. Vandy 14-0. I got back from Fayetteville last night. Vandy 88-71 winners over the Razorbacks. And LSU coming in on Sunday. They are not undefeated anymore, thanks to your Kentucky Wildcats last night.
I didn't get to watch that game live because there were, I don't want to say more important things on because it's equally as important.
Well, you were also working.
I was working, and there was a big game going on that I was watching. But I did see what happened.
Yeah, buzzer beater for the Wildcats.
My apologies to the Vanderbilt women's basketball team because now their challenge just got a little bit tougher.
Right, but yeah, LSU not going to be happy coming to Nashville, but that is a big one. We'll talk about that one later on in the show as well. But you did mention the college football playoff quarterfinals yesterday. One game on New Year's Eve. We'll talk about that one in just a minute. But the game that really lived up to the hype yesterday was Ole Miss and Georgia. And it's funny because for weeks, since the playoff bracket was announced, I feel like all of us have been saying Ohio State and Georgia, collision course in the semifinals, both get knocked out in the quarterfinals.
I thought the winner of that game would have been your national champion.
Right, it seemed logical. Those were the two teams that were, I mean, Ohio State, I think, is the most talented team, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like 5 or 6 top 10 picks over the next two drafts on that roster. And Georgia was playing the best football down the stretch. But both of them end up getting beat. Ohio State falls to Miami on New Year's Eve. And then last night, Ole Miss coming back to beat Georgia in the fourth quarter. Trinidad Chambliss with an unbelievable game to help the Rebels to the win.
I mean, he's sensational. You and I were talking about it a little bit before the show. I think he's coming back to college next year. He's suing for a medical redshirt year,
right?
Which he'll probably win.
I don't believe he's suing. He's just appealing.
Which
right?
is fine.
Like, yeah, like we're using suing because of that's what Diego Pavia is doing, but I think he just put in a waiver for a medical redshirt.
Which he'll probably get.
I think that is the expectation, is that he is going to get that redshirt, but you never know. Not that college football playoff games determine draft position, right? Like, you've got to look at the entire body of work. But Trinidad Chambliss, I'm sure, got some NFL teams' attention last night with the way that he played.
I mean, I think he would be a solid day two pick. I could see a team taking a chance on him, kind of like a Tyler Shuck.
Maybe yeah.
A team just taking a chance on him in the second or third round. I think that would work out nicely.
He's a little smaller, and again, he played D2 football for 4 years.
Well, Joe said it, I think, earlier. He reminds me of Kyler Murray on some level.
He's got even a little Russell Wilson to his game.
Yeah, he does.
I liked him yesterday, and I had the thought of, hey, if you're a team like the Rams. We've talked about the Rams as a team that need to figure out their future quarterback plans. Because Matthew Stafford, he's an MVP candidate this year, but he's considered retirement for each of the last couple of offseasons, and you just never know when he's going to be done. You need to have a plan. But the Rams, they're a playoff team. They're not going to have a chance to go get Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore at the top of the draft. Chambliss seems like a guy that has those intangibles, the it factor.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe a Sean McVay can look at that in the second or third round and say, he's got that. I can teach him some of the other stuff, and maybe he can be our quarterback of the future.
Based on what I saw yesterday, Mendoza looked good. I'm still not sold on him being, you know, this generational prospect or whatever, and I don't really think anyone is, but I'm not sold on Dante Moore. He did not look very good yesterday.
That Texas Tech defense really good.
Yeah, that's true, but he just wasn't going through his progressions much. He couldn't make the simple throws, and I think that was part of the problem for Oregon was they weren't doing the little things right early on in the stretch, and then they kind of did later on. But I just wasn't sold on him.
I think the best thing for Dante Moore is to go back to school.
I agree.
But if there's an NFL team willing to take him second overall, I'm sorry. Grandpa Phil isn't going to put together an NIL package that can match $50 million guaranteed or whatever his rookie contract would give him. So if he's being told by his agent and, you know, front officers are saying, yeah, if Dante Moore comes into the draft, somebody's going to trade up and take him second overall. It'd be pretty hard for Dante Moore to say, no, I'm going to go back to school and risk injury and risk falling, because that's happened before to these quarterbacks who, hey, I'm going to go back to school. They don't have as good of a season next year. They get injured, and then they end up being a fourth-round pick, and you lose a ton of guaranteed money.
But to tie this back to the local team, don't you feel a lot better now taking Cam Ward, seeing these two quarterback prospects?
I mean, yeah.
I think Ward's a better prospect than both of them.
That was a lot of the pushback on Cam Ward was, just trade back and you can take a quarterback next year.
And you could take Abdul Carter, who we know what Abdul Carter has been this year.
I think Titans fans would be very disappointed in the look of this class if you didn't take Cam Ward last year, because Fernando Mendoza, I think, could be a fine quarterback. The comps that he's getting is like Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. Are those bad quarterbacks? No, but it's not like the ceiling is all that high for Fernando Mendoza, I don't think. With Cam Ward, you at least are starting to see that upward progression. And, you know, the guys that everyone was pointing to when you're saying, oh, trade back and take a quarterback next year, Arch Manning, who did look good in the...
he's going to be better next year.
In the game against Michigan. And then Garrett Nussmeier and Lenora Sellers and...
Lawrence Sellers coming back to school. Nussmeier is probably like a day three pick.
Right. Drew Aller. Like all these guys.
May not get drafted.
They're not at the top of the draft. So, no, I agree with you. I think that worked out well for the Titans. Back to Ole Miss and Georgia. Ole Miss advances to the College Football Playoff semifinals. And Lane Kiffin got paid $500,000 for that win, by the way. But
and tweeted like he actually did something.
Right. But is the funniest possible outcome now Ole Miss winning it all while Lane sits there in LSU? Because a large reason, I don't know if he said this outwardly, but a big reason why Lane left Ole Miss is I think he believed that he didn't have a chance to win a national title with Ole Miss. At LSU, you have more resources, and he felt like he could go win a national championship. If Ole Miss goes and wins one without him, I think that is the funniest possible outcome for the rest of the college football playoff.
I think it would be funny if they just made the national championship.
Right.
Because that says, look what we can do without you. And I also think it would be funny in the longer term things if Lane Kiffin just never makes the college football semifinal with LSU.
Yeah.
Which I think is a true possibility. He's got the resources to do it, but we know what Lane Kiffin is. And Lane Kiffin tends to choke when the lights are bright.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think Lane Kiffin, it's, you know, who knows what he's going to end up doing at LSU. That's going to decide whether...
being in and out in 5 years.
Right. Whether he made the right decision, that'll be determined by what he does at LSU. But it is funny to see him leave and everybody kind of leave Ole Miss for dead and say, yeah, they're not going to really do much in the playoff now that Lane's gone. To see them go and beat Georgia and go to the national semifinals, it's pretty funny. And they play Miami in the Fiesta Bowl coming up next week. So excited for that one. And man, one of the better games that you'll see between Ole Miss and Georgia yesterday.
Ole Miss takes
the 10-point lead. Georgia goes down. They're able to get it within three. But then, of course, the chaos at the end of the game where they push the stage onto the field twice and have to pull it back off because they couldn't figure out when the game was actually over.
I didn't know you could do an onside punt after a safety.
You can, but I believe on a free kick, the clock is supposed to run. Like, I think that Ole Miss, if they had not been down, the clock would have run to zero. But since Ole Miss fell on it and was immediately down, they got that chance at the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo at the end of the game.
Which was bad. That was horrible. To watch.
Well, and then the offensive lineman just throwing the most obvious blindside block of all time while the play's going on. I'm like, that's the one thing you can't do. You can't get a penalty, because then if you do somehow get to the end zone, it's coming back and the game is over anyway.
Well, it was deserved because they missed that horrible, horrible face mask call on Georgia. Like, there was no call on that. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
If Ole Miss loses, the whole thing is going to come back to that one call.
Golden getting the Gatorade dumped on him and then having to go back to the sideline for one more play. It was all chaos.
I'm still not convinced he's a good coach yet, though.
I mean, I think it was about as good as Ole Miss could have done for this year to keep him, right? Like, you keep him, you instill confidence. Hey, you're not just our interim head coach. You're our head coach for the future. I think that's probably part of the reason why Ole Miss has been able to keep everything together. But, yeah, I agree. I don't know long-term, is Pete Golden going to be the guy for Ole Miss?
But as of right now, I think I'm going to pick him to win against Miami.
Miami's defense was unbelievable.
Bane's a monster.
And we're going to talk about that game coming up next. Miami upsets Ohio State on New Year's Eve. And again, they will take on Ole Miss coming up next week in the Fiesta Bowl. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A couple of texts. Cameron says Cam Ward's comps were worse than Kirk Cousins or Matt Ryan. Again, it's a comp is not exact, but like, there were people comparing Cam Ward to Patrick Mahomes, were they not?
Yeah.
Like Lewis Riddick, I believe, was the one who said it most outwardly.
I mean, yeah, comps aren't gospel.
Right.
But, you know,
it's like, that's not exactly who you're going to turn into. But in terms of play style, that's kind of what I was thinking. John says, I think it's time to admit the Big Ten runs football. If OSU didn't choke, there would be three teams in. But either way, they own the SEC in these bowl games this weekend. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Locke may not call in today because his Buckeyes lost. And he's
reeling.
He did tell us it was a foregone conclusion that Ohio State was going to win. But he has been getting on us for SEC bias. And I agree. The SEC has, it seems like they've come back to earth in football a little bit. Other sports, the SEC is head and shoulders above everybody else. But yes, in football, it's hard to deny the Big Ten could possibly win a third straight national championship. It's hard to deny that the SEC is, maybe a step on. Right?
Well, our conclusion we've come to over the past several months that the middle of the Big Ten can't compete with the middle of the SEC has been proven wrong.
We have a little pie in our face there.
So we'll eat that one.
Yeah. Bowl games, I don't think, are a great way to compare conferences.
No, because there's a lot of opt-outs.
Right, like, and it's a lot about like
take Vanderbilt, for example. Vanderbilt was missing their best pass catcher the entire game in Eli Stowers.
Yeah.
And that's not an excuse as to why they lost. I mean, look, I'm not a Vanderbilt fan, even though I am, I guess, wearing black and gold today.
Yeah, but there you go.
Vanderbilt didn't play Vanderbilt football. That's what it comes down to. Diego Pavia, I think, was too busy trying to see that he could throw the ball down the field instead of using his legs, which is most effective.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt didn't play Vanderbilt football until it was too late.
Yes, it was. It was not a good game from Vanderbilt, and Derek on the text line says, Jake and Parker, and Connor as well, you weren't on Tuesday. He says, I'm a loyal daily listener, and I live in Iowa. I was listening Tuesday when you dismissed Iowa beating Vandy by reading off their schedule and calling them weak. I know there are a lot of Iowa transplants in Middle Tennessee that would appreciate an apology. Yes, I will.
You called Iowa weak?
I did. I did not call them weak.
I gave Oregon credit for winning on the road at Iowa. I thought that was a great win.
Somebody texted in and said, you guys are insane, Iowa by 10, which ended up, it ended up being correct. But I said, I read off Iowa's schedule and just said, who have they beaten this year? And it ended up working out. I will apologize for that one.
Never call the
Jayhawks.
The Hawkeyes.
Yeah, that was not my favorite matchup.
They took Indiana to the ropes, too.
Yeah. They did.
Don't dismiss the wave.
Vandy,
I'm not dismissing Iowa. I thought it was a great win.
I'm talking to him.
I was a little dismissive of Iowa. That's on me. And Vandy did not play very well. Iowa got the win. That defense, always very good under Kirk Ferentz. So congratulations to the Hawkeyes. Tough one for Vanderbilt. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get into Miami and Ohio State coming up next and talk about that man, Reuben Bain. People say he may have short arms. I don't care. He's a dog. We'll talk about him coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Hot and heavy early. All right. I love it.
Leading off with Sabrina. That's
it's my gal.
It's a strong start. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? You can come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Jaguars. The pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Looking back at the college football playoff quarterfinals over the last 2 days. And on New Year's Eve, Ohio State and Miami. I will say probably the two most talented teams that were remaining in the college football playoff. I mean, you could have arguments about teams like Alabama, but, you know, they got crushed.
Yeah, which Alabama are you talking about?
I'm talking about in terms of NFL talent. I think Miami and Ohio State have the most. And Miami pulls off the upset, beating Ohio State. Julian Sayin, who I could not believe the stats that they were reading off, that he had been sacked 6 times in the regular season.
He looked awful.
He got sacked 5 times by Indiana in the Big Ten Championship, and I believe 5 times again in that game against Miami. The Miami defense set the tone early. Reuben Bain, Messidor on the other side, they both made plays, and the pick six. That was, I mean, I blame, who was it in the slot? It was Jeremiah Smith, I think. He did not block the slot corner on the screen pass, and the corner just jumped around and took it back for six. Unbelievable game from Miami. They pull off the upset, beat Ohio State, end the Buckeyes' chances at back-to-back national titles. And got to say, the way that Miami defense is playing, I wouldn't doubt them to keep winning and keep this Cinderella run going.
Yeah, they're a talented team. Their defense is playing at a great level. Reuben Bain, I wouldn't say he's my draft crush, but if the Titans ended up taking him, I would not be mad. I like Arvell Reese better, but I think in terms of that game, that whole game for me was a Titans draft scouting report.
Well, and it's funny.
Because there were a lot of players on that team,
right?
On both teams, that I was like, Titans may want to take a look at this guy.
Just like I said with Trinidad Chambliss, a guy's draft position isn't set by one game. But I think if you were watching that as a Titans fan, you saw a lot of names that have been rumored for the Titans. Arvell Reese, Carnell Tate, Reuben Bain. Carnell Tate did not have a great game.
Nope.
Arvell Reese was pretty quiet in that game. Reuben Bain showed up. And the debate with Reuben Bain, I think, is not whether he is a good player. I think Reuben Bain is going to be a phenomenal player in the NFL. But is he worthy of a pick as high as the Titans are going to have based on what his positional value might end up being? No one on the edge has 31-inch arms, and that's what Reuben Bain has. He's probably going to have to play inside. Is that worthy of taking with the third, fourth, fifth overall pick like the Titans are going to have?
Right, but it did surprise me. They flashed the graphic at the bottom, and it said Reuben Bain, ESPN, number 16 pick, according to Mel Kiper. And I was like, that's low.
Right.
He's at least a top 10 pick, in my opinion. But
you wonder if people are going to look back on this and be like, man, how are we so stupid that we passed on a player this good because his arms weren't long enough? And I worry about that, too, because watching that game and watching the game against Texas A&M, he dominated. Like, he was a factor on every play. I saw there was one play. I don't think Bain ended up getting the sack, but it was a sack. And Bain just pancaked the right tackle. And the right tackle,
that was Messidor. They combined for that.
Right. So Messidor got the sack, but Bain pancakes the right tackle. And I just saw the right tackle lay on the ground like a starfish for like 3 seconds. He was absolutely gassed.
You know, I like Messidor, too.
I do, too.
I think he's good.
I do, too. That defensive line for Miami is going to cause problems for anybody they face. I'm excited to see Ole Miss against Miami. You know, it looked like maybe we're going to get Carson Beck against Georgia for a little bit there, but I think this is going to be a great matchup. And with Reuben Bain, we're going to learn a lot about the draft board over the next couple of months, right? Like, at the end of the regular season of the NFL, the end of the playoffs of college football, we have an idea of like, all right, these are your first round picks, these are your second round picks, but it really doesn't sort into place of, okay, these guys could go top five until probably March or so. I think if the Titans are going to go pass rusher early, picking 3, 4, or 5, it's going to be Arvell Reese or David Bailey from Texas Tech, who had a really good game yesterday.
Yeah, he was good.
But
their defense is good.
If somebody does want to trade up, I'm you know, not expecting there to be a trade down possibility for the Titans at this point. But if they do, and you can move back to 9 or 10, getting Reuben Bain there would be a steal, I think. But yeah. I do just wonder, in terms of positional versatility and positional value, is Reuben Bain worth the 4th overall pick like the Titans have right now?
This is a conversation TD and I have had a couple of times, in that I've always been under the mindset I like Reese better than Bain. Bain proved me wrong a little bit the other day. Reese proved me wrong a little bit the other day. When they go head-to-head, I was like, okay, who's going to stand out more? It was Reuben Bain.
Yep.
So I say this to say, if the Titans, let's say they pick at number 4, which is where I think they are right now, they could slip to number 6, but I think they'll stay in the top 5. If they pick Reuben Bain in the top 5, I don't think I would be mad. I still want Reese more than Bain, but Reuben Bain, I think, is going to be a good player in the NFL. So,
I agree. I think he is going to be a good player. I guess you could make the comparison of, like, premium ingredients versus, you know, non-premium ingredients.
The,
like,
Kroger brand.
Not even that. But, like, if you're cooking and it's like, I want to make a good meal, it's like, you go and find a nice steak, and that's your premium position. So your edge, your wide receiver, your cornerback, your tackles. It's like, there's this cheese over here. It's really nice. But are you going to pay $45 for some cheese when really the main ingredient is the steak? It's like, that's the question with Reuben Bain. I'm sure that cheese is great, but is it worth that kind of value that you're giving up to take it?
Or do you want the quick and easy? Just roll through a McDonald's.
There you go.
Take Arvell Reese.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keegan is on the line. Keegan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. So just to talk about Miami a little bit, I had texted in before New Year's, and I had predicted for Miami to win. And you guys made some really good points about a lot of it coming down to Carson Beck making mistakes, possible interceptions. But my whole thought process on Miami possibly winning was, in the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State, for the pretty much the only time all year before this Miami game, Indiana had shut them down. And it seemed like Indiana was the only team to do that all year. They kind of drew up a little blueprint for shutting down Ohio State and handed it right to Miami.
Right.
I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe Miami has a better defense than Indiana. Might not be by much, but to me it's better. You give a better defense a blueprint to shut down an offense that just got shut down, I mean, it was hard for me to just kind of not take Miami at that point. But even watching the game, you know, we can talk about the plays Reuben Bain made all day. I think the biggest compliment that can be given to him is, in the second half, Ohio State completely scrapped their offense, ran out there in 12 personnel, and their number one priority every play was making sure Reuben Bain doesn't blow up the entire offense.
Yep.
That's all he did in the first half. They went out there and they changed everything just to make sure Reuben Bain's blocked. I think that's a lot of respect from an offensive staff the caliber of Ohio State. So, in my mind, hey, with some versatility inside, outside, the way he just played, give me Reuben Bain all day. Keep Denard Wilson, let Denard Wilson scheme him up next to Big Jeff. I mean, that's scary to me, fellas. That's real scary to some offensive lines, I'm sure, too. So,
yeah.
That's kind of all I got. I'll let you fellas have it.
Thanks for the call, Keegan. Yeah. I wouldn't be upset if the Titans stuck and picked Reuben Bain. I understand the positional value debate, but I do think you're going to get a really good football player if you take him.
That's why I'm okay with them, you know, maybe not having the number one pick. Of course, I would like to sell off and get more for the future.
Right.
But the second best scenario is you get a really good player at a really premium position, which you can only get through the draft. So I'm okay with
it. Right. It's just the... there is not a whole lot of history of success for pass rushers with short arms, right? Like on that position that get taken that high. You take a guy that high with short arms, usually it doesn't work out. They have to move inside. But I also look at the possibility of, you know, Tavondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, and Reuben Bain as your front three in your defense next year. And, you know, that's pretty tantalizing, but you still would be missing that edge guy unless somehow Femi turns into a guy that is feared out there on the edge, which we haven't seen enough of yet.
Well, let me bring this to your attention. Who's the last guy we had the short arms debate about?
Peter Skoronski.
More recently than that. Last draft.
Why am I blanking?
Will Campbell.
Oh, yeah, Will Campbell.
And I understand.
He's worked out, yeah.
Yeah, he's looked fine. He's on a contending team in the AFC, so that probably helps. But he's looked like a good offensive lineman, and I understand offensive linemen and defensive linemen are two very different positions. But don't always give in to the stock that, oh, he has short arms. He's not going to be a good player.
Right. No, and it's just about the reach on the outside, right? Like, if you have 31-inch arms and the tackle has 33.5-inch arms, he's going to get to you before you get to him. Like, that's the whole point of it. But
the speed he moves at, just watching him the other day, it works for him.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how the top of this draft board shakes out, because there's so many prospects that are considered to be in that top five pick range, but you just don't know who's going to end up going ahead of who. Like Jordan Tyson versus Carnell Tate, Reuben Bain versus Arvell Reese. Who's going to go first? Who is more valuable? We're going to find that out over the next few months. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Louisiana Tech at 6:30. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. When we come back, we'll talk Indiana. I am done doubting Kurt Cignetti. I've been saying for weeks, doubt Kurt Cignetti at your own risk. I'm just going with don't doubt Kurt Cignetti as he blows out Alabama and moves on to the college football playoff semifinals. We'll talk Indiana coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Twin Peaks. Today on Sports Talk 830, starting at noon, it's Rice and Texas State in the Armed Forces Bowl. And tonight on 102.5 The Game, Wake Forest and Mississippi State in the Duke's Mayo Bowl at 7 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, you can visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
You know what that was, right?
That was Selena.
That was the song that started it all.
Was that the first one?
I think so.
Wow.
Because we were at Fort Ice, and this,
right.
I think that was my first time coming on with you with your new show, and Parker asked me, what do you want coming
there
back?
You go.
And I was like, play me that.
Wow.
And then it sparked a whole revolution.
All come in full circle
yes.
on the Look second
and,
day
guess
of the
what?
New year.
We're going to hear from Michael Bunting on the show today, too, just like we
oh,
did that
yeah.
day.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's go.
I haven't mentioned that yet. Max Herz cannot visit us today, usually in for an hour on Fridays. He'll be back next week. But in his stead, he has passed along an interview from last night's game in Seattle with Michael Bunting. So we will play that for you later on in the show. But we are talking college football playoff here. The semifinals are set. We've talked about one half of the bracket. We're going to see Ole Miss and Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. On the other side, Indiana blows out Alabama in a game that I did say on Wednesday that I was picking Indiana.
I did too.
I was not going to doubt Kurt Cignetti, but I said there's a little bit in me that feels like Alabama got their swagger back against Oklahoma and they were going to come out ready to go, and they just got run off the field, 38-3. Kurt Cignetti, the job that he has done at Indiana is unprecedented. Have we ever seen anything like this? A team that was 3-9 two years ago is now two wins away from a national championship, and not just that, but is favored to win the national championship.
Yeah,
pretty heavy favorite, by the way.
I've done it multiple times in my fantasy world. That I've done it many, many times. But in the real world, no. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. So I'm with you, Jake. I have been one of Kurt Cignetti's doubters, mainly because I have a hard time separating the person from the act. I'm not a big Kurt Cignetti fan. I think he talks a little bit too much. But
Google me?
Yeah.
The little point to Pat McAfee before the game
it looked like the Trump gif.
But when you back it up, it's one thing to talk and not back it up, but when you talk and back it up.
He backs it up every single time. So I'm done doubting him. I would pick Indiana to win the national championship
at
this point.
I kept saying, doubt Kurt Cignetti at your own risk, and I continued to doubt him in some ways. Just stop doubting Kurt Cignetti, because that dude, again, he comes out in his first press conference and says, I win, Google me, and just backs it up completely. 11-1 last year, is now 14-0 this season. He's lost two games. at Indiana.
It's ridiculous.
In 2 years.
And I understand, you know, his schedule has something to do with that. But right. when he has played the good teams, he's beat them.
Well, last year, everybody was able to look at it and say, well, Indiana won 11 games, but they didn't beat anybody. They lost their game to Ohio State. They lost to Notre Dame in the playoffs. Indiana, they're a flash in the pan. This year, everybody thought they were going to get blown out by Oregon.
Nope.
They go into Eugene and win. Everybody thought, oh, well, they're 12-0, but the only tough game they played was really Oregon. They're going to lose when they face Ohio State. That team's way more talented.
Nope.
Nope. And then Alabama, you know, the Crimson Tide coming in, that's a team that's more talented than you. Indiana, sorry, I don't guess what? Teams with byes, 0-7. Outside of Indiana, Kurt Cignetti said,
the only one.
Bye doesn't matter to me. We'll take 30 days off, and we'll go out and beat Alabama 38-3 in the Rose Bowl. Crazy. Crazy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was like you. I was kind of feeling Alabama. I was like, I'll pick Indiana to win, but I don't feel good about it.
Right.
In fact, yesterday I texted one of my Alabama friends and said, just to, you know, boost him up a little bit, maybe gaslight him a little bit, Alabama 24, Indiana 20. Make it happen. And then I was like, no, I'm sticking to my guns. On air is what counts. It's on record. More people heard it. So
yeah.
I picked Indiana. And I was asleep by halftime. I took a nap because I was here producing the Preds with Puck Drop at 9. So I'm done doubting Indiana. I can't do it anymore. I think it's going to be Indiana, and honestly, I would pick Ole Miss in the national championship.
I
Google me.
Kurt Cignetti, he has turned Indiana from the worst team in college football history into possibly a national champion in less than two calendar years.
Now they're the second worst team in
right.
national,
they are. They still have the second most losses in college football history, but they are two wins away from a national championship. And it is tough. Oregon facing off with Indiana. It is always tough to beat the same team twice in a season, right? We talk about that all the time, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football. Beating the same team twice in a season is not easy. And I did pick Oregon. I did have Oregon and Indiana when we did the pre-playoff projections. I had Oregon and Indiana, and I had Oregon winning. I'm flipping it. I can't pick against Kurt Cignetti right now. I think Indiana's going to the national championship game.
Yeah, well, those don't matter. You know how dumb that is? I had Alabama and Clemson in the
national championship. No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm saying when we had the bracket already.
Oh.
I had picked Indiana and Oregon on that side, and of course Ohio State and Georgia on the other. So.
Of course I had the other two. I had Tech and Bama.
Wow. So you went 0-4.
And you know what my other side was? Ohio State, Georgia.
Yep. Yeah, you went 0-4. Me and Parker both had Indiana and Oregon on that side of the bracket, but we all picked Oregon to go to the national championship game, and here they are. I'm picking Indiana.
I pride myself on sticking to my guns.
Right, me too.
I have Oregon in the national championship, but after watching what I watched yesterday, I may have to change my mind.
Right, that's my thought process too. And Oregon looked good yesterday. I mean, holding Texas Tech scoreless, 23-0. Nothing against Oregon. I love Dan Lanning. But, again, I'm tired of saying doubt Kurt Cignetti at your own risk and then doubting him and then him – you know, shoving it back in my face. So
he wanted to win by 50 yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And he was pissed that he didn't. Like, every time they showed him on the sideline, he looked like he was about to break someone's will.
Yes. Indiana, one of the craziest turnarounds we have ever seen. Maybe the craziest turnaround we've ever seen. And I said it earlier this week that I struggled with Indiana for the same reasons that I was upset that people were struggling with Vanderbilt, right? Like, it's tough to separate the logo from the team at mm-hmm. sometimes. And as much as I hated that teams that people couldn't do that with Vanderbilt, I did it with Indiana. I'm a hypocrite in that way. I'm done with it. Indiana, you are the best team in college football right now.
They are. They're the team to beat. And First Take is currently doing a terrible debate segment. Is Indiana the team to beat? Well, let me ask you something. They're undefeated and they're the number one seed in
right.
the college football playoff. I would argue, yes, they are the team to beat.
If I'm picking right now, and you know we've still got a week until the games, but I'm going to go Indiana-Miami as your national championship.
I could see it. I mean,
Homer, imagine saying that in the preseason.
Yeah. Homerism right. in me is taking the Rebels, but
and I could see it, and I might honestly be rooting for Ole Miss because I think it would be hilarious for Ole Miss to go to the national championship without Lane Kiffin.
What if we get an all-Coach Newt matchup, Oregon versus Ole Miss?
Wow.
I won't know what to do.
Question, do we think Lane Kiffin allows his staff to keep coaching Ole Miss?
No.
Portal day today. Yeah. The portal is open. 1,100 players just went into the transfer portal. Do we think Lane Kiffin is going to just let his offensive coaching staff hang out in Oxford for the next week? I don't think so.
No, I think he's going to say, honestly, I didn't think you guys were going to get this far, so right. That's I'm pulling
why,
it back.
That's why he let them do it, is because he was like, you're not going this far without me. Well, and that's horrible, too, to say
he's a horrible
you,
person.
You guys have a chance to go win a national championship, but I'm going to make you come recruit in the transfer portal for me.
That's why it made me happy when Kentucky drained a buzzer beater right in his face last night.
Yes, yes. And we will talk someone's basketball later on. Justine Passat going to join us in just about 15 minutes from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball, one of the seven remaining undefeated teams across the country in women's college basketball. So we'll talk with Justine coming up at 10. But on the other side, yesterday and New Year's Eve's results do beg the question of, does this college football playoff format work? Is this what it was intended to do? Give teams outside of the top four a chance to move on? Or are the best teams being penalized by having to wait almost a month to get back on the football field? We'll talk about it coming up next and wrap up hour number one. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, finishing up hour number one. Plenty more to come on the show. Justine Passat from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball will join us at the top of the hour. And the Commodores have LSU coming to town on Sunday. We'll talk about that game. Also, some Preds talk as they are wrapping up their seven-game road trip coming up in the next few days. A loss last night in Seattle, but Max Hurs has sent us an interview to play in his stead, as he is not here. And we'll talk some Titans as well. But wrapping up our college football playoff conversation, do we need to have a serious conversation about this format? 2 years in, and teams with byes, so the teams that would have been in the first place, and I guess I will, correct that. Last year, the Boise State and Arizona State, they would not have been in, but they got the byes based on the format. But for the most part, the teams that would have been playing for a national championship in the four-team playoff have been losing. Is that good, because that's why you do the 12-team playoff, to give more teams an opportunity to go win a national title? Or is it showing you that this format and the scheduling needs to be changed so that these teams aren't waiting 4 weeks to play football again?
Yes and no, because I like that we're seeing new teams and new powers emerge. Like, in a 4-team playoff, would you ever see Miami, Indiana, Ole Miss, and Oregon?
Oregon's really
Oregon's the only one I think you could argue
is
would be
Oregon
there.
The only one of those teams that has played in a 4-team college football playoff before this?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Ole Miss never did.
Only two of these teams have ever won a national championship.
Right.
Ole Miss and Miami. This is the first time any of these coaches have been in a position like this.
Right.
We're going to have a new national champion. As Parker pointed out to me last night, all four quarterbacks are transfer quarterbacks.
Wow.
All four head coaches come from the Saban tree of coaching.
Yeah, Sean McDonough said that last night.
I said it first, so suck it, Sean. Anyways, this is new for college football. We've never seen anything like this before, and I think that's kind of exciting. That said, I think it's a little bit dragged out. I like what Dan Lanning had to say about, sorry to Army and Navy,
right,
but we need to do games every week until January 1st. Yesterday should have been the national championship. That should have been how it works.
Right. So it would have been the 13th is your first round, quarterfinals the 20th, semifinals would have been last weekend.
Yep.
Over Christmas, and then this weekend coming up, maybe this upcoming Monday would be the national championship.
Yeah, you could have done, it's not March Madness. You couldn't do the semifinals over the weekend and then the championship
right.
on Monday.
48-hour turnaround.
But he's right. I don't like the scheduling of it. I think it's too dragged out. There's too much time in between conference championships and the first round of the playoffs, or even before that. Say you're, they don't count this year, but say you're Notre Dame and you don't play in a conference championship and then you have a first round bye. That's over a month of time off.
Right.
It's too much time. They need to make it to where maybe give them a bye week after their conference championships. But then we start going.
Yeah. So semifinals will be the 8th and 9th. So coming up a week from yesterday and a week from today. And then the championship will be the Monday, a week from Monday, right?
Yeah.
No. 2 weeks from Monday.
Yes, 2 weeks.
Right, because they're not turning around and playing in 48 hours. So
it's hard. Yeah, I don't know why I keep going to that.
So that means they're playing, man, deep into January. And that's it is tough when classes start. For some schools, classes start on Monday for the new semester.
Do you think any of them are going to class?
I mean, that's a debate. They have to be enrolled in school, right? That's why the transfer portal is opening so early. And
more importantly, if you're an Ole Miss professor, are you requiring them to come to class knowing what you know about them?
Right.
Unless you're a nerd.
There are definitely loopholes for these kids. I mean, I'm 100% sure that they are not acting like normal students out there when they're playing the college football playoff. But it's like the transfer portal and the way it's formatted and the coaching search window that has now allowed, I mean, Lane Kiffin is not coaching Ole Miss in this college football playoff run. Like, college football needs to change the schedule.
Yeah.
I would argue for, like you said, the Dan Lanning model, you're done early January, like it's always been, before the 12-team playoff. And then after that, it is tough, though. As I'm going through this in my head, I just don't know how you can do it, because I would say the transfer portal shouldn't open until after the spring semester. But you're just not going to be able to do that with these coaches. Like, what kids who know that they're hopping in the portal are going to want to go through spring practice with that team?
Yeah.
It's a tough scenario, but right now it's not working for college football with the way the transfer portal – again, we just talked about it with Lane Kiffin. His staff is still at Ole Miss, but the transfer portal is open, and LSU is going to be transfer portal U. They are making it well known that they are going to try and bring in a huge class of transfers. All those coaches should be focused on playing Miami in 6 or 7 days.
Yeah.
Instead, they're probably more focused on
some
getting...
Some 13-year-old is just dying laughing at you right now.
Yes. I say it way... Now that it's a thing, I say 6 or 7 way more often than I thought I did. But they are more focused on the transfer portal, I'm sure, and that's not how college football should be. You should be focused on this season before you're looking at next year.
Yeah, Ole Miss isn't the only school battling that. Look at Oregon. Will Stein is the head coach at Kentucky.
Both coordinators are gone, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Yep.
One's at UCLA, or was it Cal? One of the two.
Yeah, one of the two.
UCLA hired JMU's coach.
Yeah. Oh, right, they hired Chesney, so yes, yeah. Cal.
So Cal. But both of them are scheming and trying to get guys in the portal while preparing for a college football semifinal.
Right.
I'm with Lanning. The portal and the season should not be going on at the same time. And I think they have something in place to where teams that are competing still have their own window. Like, it's like a 10-day window after their last game or something like that.
Yeah, you can enter the portal after your season ends. Like, it's not right. Like, because the national championship game is after the one portal window closes. It closes on the 15th or 16th.
Right, but how many coaches are communicating with players on contending teams? Like, how many Ole Miss players do you think Lane Kiffin is communicating with right now?
All of them, I'm sure. Yes. It's college football, there needs to be more structure. It's just, it feels... To use the old cliche that's been used basically since NIL started, it's the wild, wild west. Like, there really is no rules. The NCAA is basically saying, when it comes to all the eligibility stuff, like, we need Congress's help. We're not going to do anything until Congress does something.
At least they finally cracked down on one obvious thing they should have done. If you are drafted by the NBA, you cannot play college basketball.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Which I never thought we'd be saying 5 years from now. Or 5 years ago.
It's a mess right now in college football. And I think we're getting a good product on the field, but everything else around it is a mess. And at some point, structure has to be put into place when it comes to NIL, when it comes to the transfer portal, when it comes to coaching, coaching hires and the cycle of that, when it comes to eligibility. There needs to be more structure, because right now, it kind of feels like the NCAA is saying, we can't do anything. You guys just do whatever
they don't
you
care
want.
About their product. And that's unfortunate, because I care about their product.
I do think the product on the field is good. Like,
yeah.
We've gotten good games. Two of the games this week were not great.
I prefer it to the NFL. I always will. But
we won't get into that.
No, I know, because I know how you are.
I just think that there needs to be sweeping changes around college football. And we've... We ventured into the wilderness with absolutely no map and no plan for how we're going to do it. It's like, all right, NIL's a thing. You can transfer wherever you want and however many times you want. Coaches, you can get hired in December and, you know, your team can keep playing until mid-January. Like, there's just so much going on, and we I don't know how they're going to fix it. But we do have our college football playoff semifinals set, going to be Indiana and Oregon, and then Miami and Ole Miss to play for a national championship. So we'll have more to talk about next week with that. But when we come back, Justine Passat from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball is going to join us. We'll talk about their win over Arkansas yesterday, now 14-0 for just the third time in program history. They got a big one with a top five LSU team coming up on Sunday. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on your Friday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.